Psalm chapter number 91, and I don't remember where I left off, so we may just redo it all. I don't remember where I was at, but let's look in verse number 1, Psalm chapter 91, in verse number 1, if you're there, say amen. Amen. The Bible said, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." I want to look again, if we could, first of all, in verse number 1. The Bible said, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." If I could, I want to continue tonight preaching on that thought, the security of a secret place. The security of a secret place. Let's pray tonight. Father, we love You. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to be here tonight. God, we thank You, Lord, for the good presence and the liberty that we've already felt, Lord, in our hearts and in our souls. And so tonight, Lord, I ask You one more time, God, to come by where we are. Lord, we cannot preach without You. We can't have church without You. Lord, we can't say that we have been with the Lord unless You help us tonight. You come by one more time and show up and show out. And God, that You do what only You can do. Lord, I can utter words, but God, I don't want to just say words tonight. I need the touch of God. I need the power and the presence of the Lord upon me and in me and to work through me tonight. God, speak to Your people. Open our eyes, our ears, and most of all, our hearts. May every word that's been said or will be said tonight be honoring and pleasing to You. Help us, dear Lord, as we cannot help ourselves. And we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name and for His sake, all the Lord's people said, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. The security of a secret place. We begin to look Sunday morning and we realize that David has begun to pen this psalm, and some would say upon the occasion of different instances, but I see several things in this psalm that David makes mention of. And may I say tonight that David, all throughout his life, displays a real intimate personal relationship between he and the Lord. May I say tonight, there's so many people that claim to know God, but there's no relationship with the Lord. There's so many people that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. There's so many people tonight that are religious, but they have never, ever been redeemed. And may I say tonight, my friend, that God is looking for somebody to shed their religious cloak and have a real, intimate, personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say tonight, I believe it to be true, not just in, we expect it in the quote-unquote big churches, the mega churches, but I'm telling you, in these last Laodicean days, good Bible-believing King James only, churches are filled full of people who have a form but deny the power. There is no personal, intimate relationship between them and the Lord. Here's what I want to say tonight. One of these days, we're all going to die. One of these days, death is coming knocking, and we will cross over into eternity, my friend. And it does not matter how good of a person you were. It does not matter how much you donated or give. It does not matter how many Sunday school classes that you may have taught. It does not matter how many churches you're a member of. It does not matter how many programs, or it does not matter how many policies, or it does not matter how many gifts of charity. It doesn't matter. None of that matters when it comes time to die. There must be a day where the Lord Jesus Christ was revealed unto you, and you were convicted and drawn, and you made your way to a bloody hill called Calvary. And may I say, if y'all have ever ever been to Calvary, my friend, and the Lord Jesus saved your soul, my friend, they ought to be something down on the inside of each and every one of our hearts that long for a real, intimate, personal relationship with Him. I'm glad He's not just a figure in my heart. I'm glad He's not just a name that I use in times of need. But thank God I know who Jesus is, and He knows who I am tonight. Amen. I'm glad to know there is power and there is security. There is intimacy in the secret place. When we look at David's life, listen, David's not perfect. Y'all look at David, he's got some of the worst sins that you can find. I mean, murder. Boy, that's at the top of the list, ain't it? Adultery. Fornication, that's at the top of the list. I mean, number in Israel, David's got so many X's against him. But may I say, thank God that the Lord looks past our X's, and that where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And where David messed up, God still had favor and grace on his life. And David, yes, he knew what it was to have secret sin, like the children of Israel did in Moses' psalm, in Psalm chapter 90. David had secret sin. But may I say, he also had a secret place. And if you'll spend time in that secret place, it will eliminate those secret sins. Amen. Yes, the reason people, it's one or the other. We ain't going to look back through all of it. Psalm 90, we find secret sins in no secret place. In Psalms 91, we find a secret place but no secret sin. That ain't no coincidence. I mean, listen, if you're going to live for you and you don't have an intimate relationship with God, then the byproduct of your decision making, the byproduct of your desire, the byproduct of what you sow and what you reap will be corruption and carnality. I mean, you can't, listen, God will let you do what you want to do, but it does not come without consequence. It does not come without fruit that is bore. It does not come without the end result being it's a product. Whatever you decide to do, you have to live with your decisions. Yeah. And can I say tonight, God is a gentleman. He'll let you decide. Yes, sir. Does everybody follow me? I preach and preach and preach and tell y'all, and I've been preached to and preached to and preached to and told, but at the end of the day, I've made right decisions and I've made wrong decisions. And at the end of the day, you've made right decisions and you've made wrong decisions. But I'm telling you, there's something to taking time, effort, sacrifice, that spend time with God, just you and Him, and it will help you eliminate those bad decisions. When you don't walk with God, you're not nearly as likely to pick the thing that you ought to do to please God. When you walk and live for you and you do it your way and your mind's made up, you're going to do what you want to do, then God will let you. But my friend, when there's no power on your life, when there's no pardon on your life, when there's no relationship in your life, when there's no grace and help in your life, and I understand God's long-suffering, kind, gentle, and merciful, and good. I understand all those things. But how many is here tonight that can say, I've went my way, God let me. I messed it up, about destroyed everything, God let me. I'm glad He rescued me, but He about let me throw it all away. Had I stayed in a right relationship with Him, I'd have never walked down that road. But my friend, if you pick the temporary over the eternal, you will suffer the temporary over the eternal. If you, my friend, pick self over the Savior, He'll let you. But I'd rather have the Savior as I would the byproduct of self. We need a secret place tonight. We need a secret place. We need a relationship with the Lord. Amen. Can I say this? I don't know why it seems so burdensome to people all the time to really sell out and give it all for God. This is the, I still don't know if I'm going to finish. This is the best life I've ever known. I'm telling you, I've worked, me and Mickey, we worked together. I mean, at the time, I was making pretty decent money for around here, you know, and could have about afford anything I wanted at the time. Didn't have a whole lot of bills. But brother, I wasn't where I was ought to be with God. I'll never forget when I threw it all away, and I said, I can't do this. God switched things up. I went back to Walmart making the least amount of money as I'd ever made, but I was in the will of God. My friend, and God began to bless my life, and look,
where the blessing and the favor of God's landed me. I mean, my God, I'm living a dream, folks. This is, somebody said, oh, preacher's living a dream. You got that right. And it's the one that God gave me. Amen. I didn't create it. God put it down in my heart. And I'm living it tonight because I chose how to walk with God over myself and my expectations. Amen. There's power in the secret place. There's security in the secret place. If there's ever been a time where God's people need to get serious about their walk with the Lord, it's now. Listen, we don't have long. You say, preacher, why you tell us? Why'd you tell us, son? It could be your last chance. Because it could. Could be your last chance. Why do you say, preacher, why do you tell us all the time? Don't you leave out of here the same way you came. Because you may not have another time. You may not have another opportunity to sell out. You may not have another opportunity to get saved. You may not have another opportunity to accept whatever that is God's calling you to do. You may not have another opportunity, my friend, to make your alt right with your brother. You may not have those chances down here. And bless God, I know we're not perfect, but I want to go to the grave. That's with the testimony. Old brother Josh that really tried to right his wrongs. He really tried to fix those problems. He really tried. I mean, the man wasn't perfect, but he tried to be honest and holy before God. And even if it required him to publicly apologize, and I've had to do it. Even if it required him to publicly and openly rebuke, I've had to do it. Even if it required him to preach what they didn't like to hear or what they loved, I've done them both. That preacher did all he could to do, to walk with God and please God above everything and everybody else. That's what I want to do with my life. I just want to please the Lord. There's a song about that. I just want to please the Lord. And can I say tonight, if you'll walk with Him, not only will you please Him, but praise God, He'll please you. Amen. Amen. How many of y'all know once that old song has it best, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Amen. I'm telling you, this thing ain't getting worse. Times are getting worse. But the walk with the Lord and the relationship with the Lord and the goodness of the Lord, it's getting better and better and better all the time. Old Kohler preacher say it's getting gooder and gooder and gooder. Amen. I mean, it's getting gooder all the time. I love the Lord tonight. I'm glad I got a personal relationship with Him. Can I remind you of what the Bible says? And I'm trying to hurry along. Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. There is a security in a secret place. I'm not going to go through all these again. But there's several cares that take place in this psalm. Verse 1 and 4, it's private care. Verse number 2, it's personal care. Verse 3, 5, 6, 7, and 8, we find that it is provisional care. Verse 9 through 13, we find God's protective care. And then verse 14, 15, and 16, we see God's prolonged care. He will take care of you in all areas, in all avenues of life. God will take care of you and take care of me. But may I say, it all starts with the first one being private care. There must be a hidden place in your life and a private communion, a private supplication, a life in secret that cannot be awarded by men in order for God to give favor in all those other areas in your life. Amen. If you want God's full hedge of protection, if you want God's full hand of blessing, if you want God's full anointing touch on your life, you've got to have a personal walk with the Lord. Yes. You cannot have it any other way. Everybody's trying to achieve this whatever you'd call it, this achievement, through every avenue but the right ones. Amen. Not against Bible college. Okay? Not against, most of them I'm against, but I'm not against good Bible colleges. we was at Brother Jonathan Shook's there just a few weeks ago preaching. A little boy come up to me. He said, now, did you go to Bible college somewhere? I said, no, sir. I said, I always try to make a joke. I said, I tried and they won't let me in. And he said, you didn't go to Bible college, learn how to preach? I said, no, he just, you know, just a little boy. I said, no, sir, I never have been. I never have been. He said, oh. I said, okay. He said, I thought you might have went over here and he named a local college or something. I said, nope. He just kept, I said, nope, I never been. He said, well, how do you preach if you don't go to
Bible college. That's the day we're living in. I said, well, son,
on July 13th, 2013, the Lord called me to preach. I'm not against Bible college. I think there's some great things there that they teach and they'll help and they advise and counsel that are good for the ministry, but has absolutely nothing to do with the call and the touch of God. You know where that comes from? Going to school with the Lord.
Amen.
That's where that comes from. That comes from God. I am desperately ignorant. God, I need help. I don't know what I'm doing. Lord, would you please show me? You know what it comes through? It comes through God speaking to me and me disobeying, falling flat on my face and saying, told you so. And then they give me another opportunity to do it the right way. That's how I've learned. Now, listen, I've not mastered it. I'm not at the head of the class by any means. I'm going to look back to these days in 10 years and say, oh my goodness, what was I doing? But listen, I've come a long way. Somebody that's been with me for 8 years ought to say, amen. We've come a long ways, friend. Why? Because it's required us to say, I don't know, Lord, what in the world's going on. I don't know how to handle that. I don't know how to deal with that. I don't know how to respond. I don't know how we're going to make it. And we get along with God, and God then places us under His personal protective and private care through our private supplication with Him.
Yes.
Secret place. Very important tonight to have a secret place. It brings security to your life. The security of a secret place. I got to hurry. I spent too long again on the introduction. But I want us to look at a few things tonight quickly if we could. I'm not going to go back through all that. Number one, we said it requires commitment. I'm just going to mention these. If you're going to have a secret place, it requires commitment. Verse number one, he that dwelleth, that word dwelleth, again, it means to abide as a permanent resident, to continue, to be fixed. Can I say the devil hates the secret place? I told you, write these down. The devil hates the secret place because that's the place he loses his persuasion. And your flesh hates the secret place because that's the place that it loses its power. The devil cannot persuade you when you are committed to the secret place. And your flesh cannot overpower you when you are committed to the secret place. Can I say people do not fail in their ability to commit? People fail in their avenues of commitment. Did everybody see what I'm saying tonight? People do not fail in the avenue or their ability, to commit. They fail in their avenues of commitment. In other words, we are all committed to something. Well, if I just can't commit, brother. I'd commit. I've heard this. Well, I'd go to church, but I don't want to be a hypocrite. Well, now, why do people all of a sudden, that's the first thing out of their mouth? I don't want to be a hypocrite. And I often ask them, would you please further explain that theology tonight? I don't want to be a hypocrite. That means I don't want to go down there and act like I'm something I'm not. I said, well, be what you say you are. They've already made their mind. You know what they don't want to do? Commit. You know why hypocrisy is a real thing in these days? You know how to overcome it. Maybe you're a hypocrite. I'm not against you. They're everywhere. I want you to get the thing right. How do you overcome hypocrisy? Commitment. You know, most people don't go to church and just pretend. They want to be that person that everybody sees at church, but they're not willing to commit their lives to the Lord to be that person. It ain't that they're just putting on a show. It's a talent show, and we're going to trick everybody. Most of the time, that's not how a hypocrite works. They don't go to church and say, well, I've got to do this, I've got to do this, I've got to do this, and make myself, and then go out there. That's not how it works. A lot of times, they really want to do it, but they lack their flesh, and they lack their things, and they lack their private self-pleasure than they do their private supplication, and they would rather have worldly and carnal and temporal pleasure than they would eternal power, and they sow to that old flesh more than they do their spirit, and that's what they lack in commitment. And if you're going to have a secret place, it requires commitment. And I talked about it Sunday. I'll try not to go back through it all so we can get through this. But I wonder what kind of relationship our church would have with the Lord if we were as committed to Him as we are other things. Some of y'all are not going to, you're not going to push your passion aside. You don't care who suffers.
If you love it, it's coming to pass. I wonder if we love the Lord like that.
Come on now.
Come on now, somebody. Help me. I wonder if we love the Lord like we love our passions. Well, I know it's 40 below zero and pouring the rain, but bless God, I took off work and I'm going to that here stand. Isn't that amazing?
Come on now.
Hello, is everybody here? Y'all listening to me tonight? I'm talking to me. I'm talking to you. It's 20 degrees outside and pouring the rain. I'm going to get froze to my deer stand. But bless God, I've took off work and I'm not missing. I'm going to go sit in the pouring rain all day in the cold and catch pneumonia before I miss out on that big deer that might come through today. But if it even starts to look like it's going to rain, well, we better stay in. You know how it gets at night. The roads are dark. I think I hope we better not go. You'll go sit in the ball game in the pouring rain outside, but won't come to the house of God in the rain. And you're inside.
Right.
I need a little help tonight. Y'all looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about.
Right.
Or what about this? Well, honey, we really don't have the money, but if we're going to go riding this weekend, I mean, I know it's $600 to replace that deer in that rear end, but we're going to have to do it. I mean, if we really want to enjoy ourselves, it's worth not going to pay it. So you'll drop it for your razor. But the preacher gets up and says, listen, I don't know what y'all been doing, but we're struggling financially. We need some help. Put $10 on check money. That's all he talks about.
Come on now.
Yeah. You want to talk about this much? Because after 8 years, we still don't have people that committed.
Right.
Well, that's just the truth.
Yep.
I mean, you either for this place or against it. Either for the Lord or against it. You're going to help. You're going to help or not going to help. I mean, make your mind up.
That's right.
Are you going to be committed or not? We need commitment.
Yep.
You know what? If everybody would sell out and get committed, you wouldn't have to hear the same old song today. You wouldn't have to hear the old time. Nothing improves.
Yeah, man.
I can't quit talking about it, but that stuff gets where it's got to be.
Yeah, man.
I mean, I think it's what y'all try to leave me for a day. I know everybody. What everybody think? My God, there's something not right. I mean, they must be stealing. No, we're not. We just don't have commitment.
Amen.
You do good for 6 months, and then I don't know where you go for a year.
Right.
Where's your commitment?
Yes, sir.
You'll say amen, shout 3 or 4 times in a month, and then go colder and deader in a mummy in an Egyptian cage somewhere. Where do you go? Where's your commitment?
Amen.
God's looking for commitment.
Yes.
If you're ever going to have a secret relationship, a secret place with the Lord, you listen to me. You will have to do it out of commitment. Even people who walk with the Lord and love it have days they do not want to do the same.
Yes,
I don't care who they are. I don't care who it is. I don't care. Everybody wants to talk about this one and that one. They'll go all the way down there to Murrow, Mississippi over Ray Percy. Listen to me. Ray Percy had days he did not want to spend time with God. Can I get some Percy Ray? I mean, you name the best. Can I tell you there's days the Apostle Paul did not want to do right.
That's right.
But you've got to be committed.
Yes.
Amen.
And I sat down with people and I said, preacher, I tried so hard, it was good for like a month, but now it's just right back. I gotta make myself read my Bible. What's the point? Make yourself read your Bible. Make yourself pray. Make yourself go to church. Make yourself do right. Because you have to overcome your rotten flesh. You gotta be committed, even when you don't feel like being committed.
Amen.
That's sowing to the spiritual things.
Yes.
And persecuting that old flesh of yours. And overcoming those simple fleshly, earthly desires and pleasures. I mean, are you committed tonight?
Yes, sir.
Are you committed?
Yes, sir.
I mean, that's a fair question. To what? The Lord.
Right.
Amen.
Man, why do I got to sink the plow? And you cannot be committed to the Lord outside of His Word.
Amen.
Well, and I'm committed to the Lord. I just don't believe that. If it's in the book, you're not committed to the Lord. And if it's rightly divided and it's put in place and the doctrine is intact where it's supposed to be and you disagree, that means you're saying, I'd rather do it my way is God's way. You are not committed at that point. Because the Bible said, let God be true and every man a liar. It don't matter if it hair lips me. If it's God's word, it's right.
Amen.
I don't care what Mamma and Papa said, but God rest their souls.
Amen.
But if they were wrong, they were wrong.
Amen.
That don't mean we hate them. That don't mean that they're our enemy. It just means they're mortal man, and mortal man don't always have it right. Even good men are wrong. I know that's so hard to believe, ain't it? Well, my mamma, you didn't know her. That lady was a godless lady. She wasn't wrong. Yes, she probably was. Because she's flesh just like you and me.
Right.
Commitment. Shoo-wee. Boy, I could preach right here for a long time, I believe. I'm not going to get back into all that. We ought to commit our spirit to the Lord, Psalm 31:5. You ought to commit your steps to the Lord, Psalm 37:5. You ought to commit your service to the Lord, Proverbs 16:3. Secondly, there's security in a secret place. Not only does it require commitment, it reveals a covering. Verse number one, he that dwelleth, there's your commitment, in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So, if we look there, and then we drop down and look at verse number four, the Bible said, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. So we're talking about having a secret place with the Lord, a secret life of supplication and communion with the Lord. Can I say, when you commit yourself to a secret place, what you'll find yourself being reminded of is God's hand in. Do I got any witnesses right here that says God's hand is in your life? Come on, y'all. God's hand is in my life. God's hand is on my life, or over my life. That covering, that shield, that protection. It's a covering that we often fail to remember. We often forget that we've been covered tonight. Listen, when you take the time to get along with God, God will then take the time to remind you of what all you got when you got along with God. Y'all picking up what I'm throwing down? I know that sounds like a rhyme and a riddle, but it's just the facts. If you ain't spending time with God, you'll forget what you got in God. Oh man, y'all are killing me tonight. If you don't take the time to spend time with God, you'll forget what you got in God.
Amen.
If you don't take the time to spend time with God, you'll forget what you got with God.
Amen.
In other words, you can know somebody, but you grow apart.
Amen.
And it is not God's fault, nor his failure. How many of y'all would say this? There's things that in people, friendships, relationships, at one time you knew them inside and out, but you have forgotten some things over the years. But if you were to reunite with that person, it would rekindle some of that flame, and things would begin to come back to you, and you'd recall certain characteristics and feelings and excitements and even disappointments that people put in your life. And there's so many people that they've been saved by God, and when they first got saved, he was everything. He's the best thing they ever knew, and he ought to be. But then they grow away from God and apart from God, and then all of a sudden they forget just who God really is. You'll forget about that covering if you do not have yourself committed to the secret place. But if you'll commit to the secret place, that covering will be revealed. Can I say this tonight? Very few people reveal the Lord through their lives because they have not spent enough time with God for God to reveal himself through them.
Amen.
Y'all follow me, ain't you?
Yes.
Very few people reveal the Lord through their lives because those same people fail to spend enough time with God for God to reveal himself through them.
Yeah.
And that's how this works. If you want to be a witness at work, it's going to go a whole lot deeper than words.
Right.
Everybody's a Christian in 2023. Don't you know? I can't find nobody lost no more. Used to when you'd say, "Now, the boy." Just in the last decade, things have drastically changed. You knock on the door, "Sir, I'm out in Bahia. I ain't church man. If you died tonight, where'd you go?" "I'd go to hell." That don't happen much no more. Everybody you talk to, "If you were to die right now, where'd you go?" "I believe I'd go to heaven." My mamma was a Sunday school teacher down there. I've been to church all my life. This ain't where I need to be right now, but I watch Facebook Live. Y'all, I'm about to start throwing songbooks at you. Y'all with me? Ain't nobody lost. Everybody's on their way to heaven. Everybody's got the George Jones. Me and Jesus got our own thing going. Hello? And they don't. That's not Bible. You don't listen to me. If you think you and God's got it worked out outside of His Word, you're going to hell when you die. You don't get to heaven no other way. You don't get a relationship with God no other way. Jesus said, I am the way. It's either through and by Him and Him alone, or no salvation at all. No service at all. No supplication at all. Something that bothers me, and that's a pet peeve. If you've done it here, I ain't trying to pick on you. It just bothers me. When you end a prayer, y'all say, Jesus' name.
Amen.
Because that is the name that we are praying by.
Amen. For there is one mediator, or for there is but one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. You don't get to God without Him. There's no access to the throne room without Him. There's no price paid without Him. It's in Jesus. Glory to God. It's in Jesus' blessed name that we pray tonight. He is who I supplicate with. And He is who supplicates with me. I've heard people pray. And at the end of their prayer, they just either shut it off with amen. I ain't saying you're going to hell for it. Or they'll say, in God's name, in Jesus. If I was you, I'd add a little adjective. Precious name. In Jesus' wonderful name. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Yeah, yeah. Amen and amen. There's something about that name.
Yes, there is.
I'm enjoying myself too much tonight, y'all. I'm telling you, I'm glad I get to know Him tonight.
Amen.
I'm glad that He wants to take the time to know me. Amen. And He knew me before He ever formed me. And He knows my uprisings and my downfallings. And still He loves me through and by His only Son tonight.
Amen.
I bless His good name. Talking about a revealed covering under His wings. Under His wings. I said this Sunday, contrary to what many people would say and think, you can be born again and on your way to heaven still not really know the Lord. You can know Him as Savior, but not know Him as anything else. And He is a lot of things. I asked this Sunday, He's the dearest friend. Is He yours? He's the joy of our salvation, but is He yours? He's the Prince of Peace, but is He really yours? He's the first and the last, the captain of our salvation, but is He really yours? He's the chief cornerstone, but is He yours? I know that the Lord's all these things with or without us doing our part, but my friend, is He really all those things to you personally or just practically? Do you just throw those names into your life without really knowing the God behind those names?
Right.
Do you know Him as the first and the last?
Yes, sir.
Here's a question. Is He your first and is He your last?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I know He's our first and our last concern in eternity. What about your personal life? What about your day? Is He at the first of your day and the last of your day? Is He start the first of your year and the last of your year? Is He, since you got saved, will you go out with a testimony at the first part of their life, at spiritual conception, He was their Lord, and at the last part of their life, when they closed their eyes in death, they died in a relationship with Him as Lord? I'm telling is He these things to you tonight? Well, I'm glad He's real to me. And I sure wish and hope that He's real to you in all these areas and avenues of life. Whew. You know what's a shame? Talking about a revealed covering. People know so little about the God they quote unquote serve. You know what's sad? We're living in a day where most people know more about their Facebook friends than they do the Lord Jesus Christ, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Yes,
we're living in a day where people know more about the latest celebrity and the news out of Hollywood than they do the Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords.
Yes,
we're living in a day, and I'm talking about church people.
that they know more about their favorite sports team. They know, I mean, they know the ins, the outs. They know every name, every number, every stat, how many so-and-so games started. I mean, they know their team inside out, upside down, and can't give you five verses on eternal security.
Right.
Priorities, folks.
Yes, sir.
They know more about the stock market than they do the economy of God. You know, there's some people that do not know God and His economy and how He works.
Right.
And if you did, nobody would have to wrap you up in an arm bar to get you gifts when offering plate come by.
No, sir.
If you understood the economy of God, you'd throw it in there.
It's unbelievable.
I'm telling you, you throw it in there.
Man, cheerfully.
And love it. I have seen for over 8 years firsthand how the economy of God works. And some of y'all have been around me to see it too. People say this all the time. Old Brother Josh, he can step in a pile of dung and come out smelling like roses. There's a lot of situations that I have been highly favored and highly blessed on materialistic things. That wouldn't mean a hill of beans to most people, but God took care of me. And found favor and gave me grace. In fact, I have things that are way out of my league, but they're not out of His.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. Oh, yes. God has shown me a whole lot about the way His economy works. You don't know how it works? If you want God to bless, you got to give.
Right.
I'm just telling you. Dick, you got the books with you, don't you? Anybody want to check me? I've got it in my phone. Just had to go through missions. I'm trying to lead by example. I'm giving more than it even makes sense for me to give. It don't even add up. If you were to take my money, my bills, and what I give to the church every month, that the church gets more money than anything else, and it does not make sense. But yet, every single time, it works out for me.
Man.
Why? God has... I've been in a secret place with Him too long. He's revealed that covering. Look at verse 4. I want to show you a little something. I'm hurrying along. 37 minutes that all I've been preaching. Look at verse 4. The Bible said, He shall cover thee with His feathers. And under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Can I say something tonight? When I read this, I began to think about something. All right? Let me find my note on it so I give it to you right. I wrote this down so I don't say some of these things wrong. I looked up a bird, to be exact, a chicken, a hen, a mother hen. And here's what I found out, if I can find it. Did you know that not only does a mother hen take her chicks under her wing to shelter them, but there's so many other reasons. I'll find it right here in just a second. Got too many notes. I want to give you these. A mother hen, here we go. A mother hen gathering her chickens under her wings, her little chicks, chicklets. This is proven fact. Her natural instinct is to gather them under her wing, not only to protect them, but listen, she calls them under that protection when she sees them in danger and they're unaware. You know, a little chick ain't very aware, just like our children sometimes. They're not aware of danger like we are, so we try to reach out and protect them. The mother chick will call her chicklings, if you will, under her wing when she senses danger, not just when they do, but when she senses it. She not only keeps them safe under her wings, but that's where she cherishes them, loves them, keeps them safe from danger, and where she warms them. You'd think in the heat of summer, a chicken, a little baby chick would be all right, but it requires the warmth of the mother. Can I say there so many times God is calling for you to get under His wing, not because, and sometimes you look around and things look good to you, but how many of y'all know right here He sees what we don't?
Amen.
And he'll call you under his wing because he can see and sense those unawares that you are completely oblivious to. My friend, God will protect you under his wing. There is a revealed covering tonight. God will reveal who he is to you in your life if you'll commit to that secret place. Requires commitment. There's a revealed covering. But then secondly, why should you have a secret place? Or thirdly, the security of a secret place. Number three, notice this. That secret place rekindles your confidence. Look at verse 2. David said, I will of the Lord. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Can I say the security of a secret place, it rekindles your confidence. What will it rekindle your confidence in? Number one, if you'll have a secret place. Does everybody still know what the topic is tonight,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Talk about living a life, in a personal life, an intimate life with the Lord. It'll rekindle your confidence. Number one, it will rekindle your confidence in his sheltering. In verse number two, he said, I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. That word refuge, if you were to look it up in the Webster 1828, it's defined like this. It means to have protection, to be protected from danger or distress. It literally means the word shelter. Refuge is a shelter. David said, when I get alone with God and when those that dwell in the secret place, he says in verse 2, after dwelling in the secret place in verse 1, then verse 2, he says, I will say of the Lord. You don't know why some people can only testify to the things they've heard other people testify to? They never spend enough time with God to know. They don't have confidence in their own testimony, their own words. They just have to say what they've heard the whole life because they've not spent time in the secret place. But if you'll spend time with God and really devote your life to God, it will rekindle a confidence in you that some of y'all used to have, some of y'all's never had, but it will it'll rekindle and it will ignite a confidence in your heart, and you'll realize that God really is your refuge or your place of sheltering. It'll not only rekindle your confidence in God's sheltering, it'll rekindle your confidence in God's security. Yes. Notice verse 2 again. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. That means shelter. And my fortress. That means security. The fortress is a place of security. Can I say that there is safety and security in the Lord?
Yes.
Don't know why people lack in the avenue, in the area of security. Feeling safe or operating by faith or knowing that they're on a firm foundation. Why are people tossed to and fro? Why is there no stability, no security, no safety when the winds of false doctrine and the winds of the devil and the winds of oppression and the winds of attack and the winds of contrariness and the winds of burdens and the wind of any sort begins to blow, they always want to run. You don't know what I know about people that run? They are not hunkered down in the shelter. If you're really in the shelter of his wing, and if you're lodged in a shelter and a tornado is outside, the last thing you do is run.
That's right.
You stay put. Why is it that when the winds of contrariness and the winds of whatever it may be begin to blow, that people run, they rise and run? I'm going to tell you why.
Right.
They are not secure in the fortress. When you're tucked under his wing, you don't want to come out Monday.
Nope.
Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
You won't want to run. Right. Listen, I've never understood when people go through hard times, the first thing they do is leave the things of God.
Right.
Why would you run from the church? This is the only place that you can have fellowship with God's people. This is the only place where you get to come in and shut the world out for, even if it is 6 hours a week. Thank the Lord for 6 hours a week.
Amen.
That the agenda of the world's not being crammed down our throat.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for 6 hours a week where we can hear old time singing and preaching and praying and shouting and crying and laughing and fellowship. I mean, is anybody glad to be a part of a New Testament local church? This is my fortress, man. This is my place of refuge. This is God's church. It's His business to keep us safe and sheltered and secure. We're under His wing. We've been bought and paid for. I'm His bride tonight. He ain't going to let nobody get to me. I don't claim to be the biggest, obviously. And I sure don't claim to be the baddest, also obviously, man that's ever lived. But I'm going to tell you something, Jack. You even think about coming in my house and endangering my family, you're a dead man. Y'all with me? You're a dead man. There ain't no questions. I'm not asking the intruder, are you here to steal or to murder? There's no questions. Somebody kicks my door in, they're going to the morgue.
Right.
That's plain and simple. Because I love my family and I'm going to protect my family.
Yes.
If we love our families,
yes,
we love our brides like that, how much more does He love us?
Yeah.
You scared to death all the time, the devil's fixing to take me down. No, he ain't. No, he ain't. I'm going to die right out here. No, you're not. I'm trying to encourage y'all, and y'all looking at me like I'm preaching on hell. I mean, listen to me. I'm trying to let you know you're not going to sink.
That's right.
You've got to rekindle your confidence in the Lord. And the reason that people lose confidence and all they see is those waves and the wind and they don't see the speaker and the creator of the wind and the seas is because they've lost their confidence. You don't know how to lose your confidence? Get out of the secret place. You'll lose confidence in the Lord. Not only does He rekindle your confidence in safety and security and in shelter, but what about this in strength? In verse number 3, He said, surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Verse 4, He'll cover thee with His feathers and under His wings shalt thou trust. His trust shall be thy shield and thy buckler. May I say, the secret place will rekindle your confidence that God has the strength to deliver. Verse number 3, my friend, that God has the strength to defend. Verse number 4. My friend, I'm telling you that God will not only deliver you, but He'll defend you. He loves you tonight. And if you'd spend time with Him, it would rekindle your confidence in His ability to maintain strength in your life.
Amen.
You say, I can't take no more. Good. About time you handed the wheel to Him.
Yeah.
Let Him take over. I just can't do it no more. Good. It means God maybe can finally start working in your life. I wonder how long we hold on to things and carry weights around we don't have to.
Come on.
I'm speaking to me. I wonder how many times we put burdens on our back and we just haul them around. And the whole time we're saying, God, I really wish You'd take this, but You won't give it to Him. He ain't just going to haul off, come over and just pick everything up, move it and give it. I mean, He wants you to bring it to Him. Come to Him. Bring your problems. Confess your faults. And make your earnest prayer and supplication known unto the Lord. I'm telling you tonight, we ought to live our lives knowing, being confident that God has the strength to deliver and to defend you and me tonight. Can I say tonight, just like a bunch of little chicks, we're easy prey, friend.
Yeah.
Don't know why a black snake loves a chicken coop? It ain't for mama hen. It's for them eggs and them babies.
Yes, sir.
That's why you can't keep black snakes out of your chicken coops. You know what the devil is? He's an old cursed belly serpent. You know what he wants? The easy prey.
Yes, amen.
He wants these chicks around here, these little ones. More than he wants. He done lost some of us. But he ain't lost our children yet.
Right.
And if you get to the place where you lose all confidence in God, guess what road you're going to drag them down?
Yes.
You're going to drag them right down the snake hole.
Right.
And those little eggs and those little chicks will be consumed. You know what your job is as parents and grandparents or whoever you are and whatever you do, and if you're raising somebody else's children, it don't matter. You know what your job is? To tuck them under your wing, and then you take them with you and tuck under God's wing.
Yes.
Amen. I wish y'all was feeling good like I didn't know, but I wasn't feeling too good. When I got to church, I started feeling good. I mean, I'm glad I'm under His wing tonight. When I don't have all the answers for my family, glory to God, when I can't tell them what we need to do next, I can run to my safe haven. I can run to my fortress. I can run to my refuge and tuck up under His wing. And God can rekindle my confidence and my faith can be established that me and my family's going to be all right. And I could look at them with a heart full of faith, happiness, joy, and assurance and say, I know it don't look good, but we're going to be just fine. Why, Daddy? Because we're under His wing.
Amen.
Amen. Man, that encourages me. I want to go kick a road sign. Boy, I'm telling you, that encourages me.
Amen.
Thank God I'm under His wing tonight.
Amen.
Boy, I got so much. I'm serious. I could preach here forever. But I'm going to close. Can I say a man who walks with God will wait on God?
Yes, sir.
The reason a man who walks with God will wait on God is because he knows without Him, nothing can be accomplished.
Exactly right.
Y'all picking that up?
Yes, sir.
A man who walks with God will wait on God. And the reason he'll wait on God is he knows without waiting on God, without God, there is absolutely nothing that can be accomplished.
Right.
Why can't we do something, Daddy? The Lord ain't told us. That's simple, ain't it?
Amen.
What are we going to do about that? I have no idea. We're just going to wait on God.
Amen.
And y'all ever got that response from me? What I need to do, preacher? Wait on the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Because I'm going to tell you something. I don't know no more than you do half the time. But God knows. Let's just wait on Him.
Right.
Psalm 27:3 says this, and I'm closing. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Philippians 1:6. Paul writes, being confident of this very thing. Boy, I've clinged to this verse a bunch of times.
Yes,
being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In other words, listen to me, and I'm done on a Wednesday night. I'm going to go home and preach. Y'all act better on Sunday. But I'm confident tonight that he which hath begun a good work in me will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Your family got burdens coming. It's going to be too heavy for you to bear. Take them to him, because he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. To the day of Jesus Christ. Church, boy, there have been times it ain't look good. I'm going to be honest with you. And we ain't at the top of the mountain right now. But he, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it. To the day of Jesus Christ. Do I got anybody that believes that here tonight?
Amen.
I hope y'all get so convicted that when you go home, you have to take 10 minutes and shout. Because you've dried up on me so bad tonight. I hope you have to shout in the middle of your lunch break tomorrow for 30 minutes and make yourself look stupid because the goodness of God overwhelms you. Because I came to tell you, he which hath begun a good work in you will... I mean, that ought to make a Presbyterian shout. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus. In other words, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Hey, God never slumbers or sleeps. And whatever he started, he's big enough to finish it out. Glory be to God, we're in under his wing tonight and in his protection. It ought to a sermon like this ought to rekindle your confidence. Establish and build and challenge your faith to trust God even when you can't see no way. You know how many times that we've had to look at one another as a family or as a church family So we don't know what's going to happen, but the Lord knows. Let's just trust Him. Ain't that? Listen to me. That's not a bad place to be. That's a good place to be. It's a good place to be. When you say, man, I don't know, but He does. That's a good place to be. So I want to ask you again tonight. We're done. Brother Chris, come. How many of y'all's really got that security of a secret place? Do you have the faith to withstand the storm? Are you walking with God? You really spending time with God? Do you have what it takes to make it through the trials and the tools and the test of life? Let's bow our heads and all stand. Father, I've done my best. Pray that You bless the invitation. Speak to Your people. In Jesus' name. Amen.